Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Story of the today, the story of today, Maryland accepting full responsibility for the death of one of their players, Jordan McNair. Their strength conditioning coach was fired, but DJ Durkin remains on leave, but he is being paid during the investigation. But I think an unprecedented move today of a university accepting full responsibility for something like this. We're going to welcome in Ben Kirchhoff, CBS Sports, covers college football for him, does a great job there. Find his stuff online at cbssports.com. Ben, have you ever seen a university kind of fall on the sword quite like the University of Maryland did today?
It's rare, that's for certain, but I think before go and pat them on the back a little bit too much, let's remember that Jordan McNair died 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And it took them 60-something days to get out to Baltimore to apologize to his family. And for the strength and conditioning coach, he wasn't even fired. I mean, he resigned. They had a mutual parting of ways. So the guy who should be responsible for absolutely zero deaths under his watch is walking away from this with like $315,000. I mean, imagine screwing up so bad and walking out with a six-figure settlement.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. If Jordan McNair goes and plays for any other program in the country, he's not dead right now.
Well, this is where the conversation, I think, gets very interesting. Football is a violent sport, obviously.
Yeah.
And in the training, the physical training to get the players ready for it is obviously very demanding. That hasn't changed over the years. We'd like to think that the safety procedures have improved over the years. The way that athletes have their bodies monitored over the years has improved, certainly. But, you know, the job of the coaches and really the strength and conditioning staff who, you know, let's remind listeners, in the off season, players are with the strength and conditioning staff far more than the coaching staff.
Yes.
Winter workouts, summer workouts, that's really their coaching staff throughout most of the off season. Is those coaches are there to push players beyond what they think they're expected to do. And especially when you're trying to, you know, get a program turned around like at Maryland, DJ Durkin is a first-time head coach. You always hear these stories about, quote-unquote, changing the culture. And, you know, fans eat up those types of stories. But the other side of that is those coaches push those players to where they're going to find out who's capable mentally and physically and who isn't. Now, where that line is drawn is where the safety measures are in place. Everyone does 110-yard sprints in the summer.
Yeah.
They're not fun, but everyone does that. Where you might really be messing up here, if it turns out to be true, is if Jordan McNair had a medical condition registered at about 5 p.m., they said he had a seizure at 5 p.m., and an hour later there's a 911 call, that's and players who were there told ESPN that everyone's looking around and everyone knows what's going on. Everyone's saying, yo, man, this isn't right. He's not right. And something has to be done about that. And it is the responsibility of the training staff and then, you know, to a larger extent to the coaching staff to make sure that those best practices are in place and that you're adhering to them. Now, how many times have we heard about someone going through condition drills? You know, they throw up because of dehydration and, you know, and push themselves too far, but then they go and they finish the workout. So it definitely is a blurred line of what's acceptable and what works and what goes on everywhere else in college football. But at the end of the day, what we have to remember is when a parent hands their kids off to a program, they're giving them away. That's their kid, and their safety is of the utmost importance. and a coaching staff and a training staff, they can push them, but at the end, they need to be first and foremost concerned about their safety. In Maryland, whether they apologize now or 2 months ago, clearly did not have that in mind.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. I played college football at BYU, and you know, again, I remember, you know, workouts where people obviously were pushed to the limits. But the fact that you can have that many people there and no one provide any kind of help, it makes me wonder, especially as you read through that piece about kind of the toxic culture of football, how desensitized did that staff get to people being in duress where for an hour, here's a kid with 106 degree temperature and no one did anything about it? That's the part that I wonder what role that played.
I try not to read too much into official statements, but I read what the strength and conditioning coach released today when it was announced that he was no longer going to be with the program. It took him three paragraphs to get to Jordan McNair.
Yeah.
And look, that's the kind of stuff where this is the guy you were supposed to be looking after. And there just seems to be all, I mean, I there's beyond the standard, like we're all thinking about Jordan McNair and his family. It's just, look, you, and again, you played, so you would have an insight on this. The guys that you were around with all the time, you know, you're doing 2 days with each other during the summer. Everyone called them voluntary workouts. They were never voluntary.
Yeah.
With the coaching staff, you're with them for hours on end, and they're yelling at you and screaming at you, and they're pushing you. But at the end of the day, everyone comes back together because they know that they have a common purpose, and that's how the brotherhood is built that everyone always talks about with athletics. And if you're going to push them to the edge, you've got to be there for them on the other side. If you're going to work them hard, you got to love them hard. And it just, I never got that impression from Maryland staff at all. And I don't know why, but it's really disheartening and disturbing. And in 2018, with all the medical advances that these programs have access to, it's unacceptable.
Exactly. I mean, you mentioned it's a violent sport and you are going to push yourself. And there's people, you know, that have heart conditions and you don't know about it. And, you know, people die during off-season workouts and the you know, violent trauma and things like that. That wasn't the case here. This was 100% preventable. And I look at like what the NFL has, and this, you know, this sort of thing is collectively bargained in the NFL. Players have a voice. Players can say, no,
right,
we're not doing this. My question here is, and from what I saw from my time playing in 15 years covering this, the players in the NCAA have no voice. No one from Maryland was able to raise their hand and say, this isn't okay. He's in trouble. We're stopping this. Is there a way in light of what happened that Jordan McNair's death can actually have something positive come out of it and we can actually get some change and a voice to the players? Or is this something in a month's time just gets filed away and then and we continue with business as usual?
So it's interesting you mentioned that. If anyone goes to CBSSports.com, I'll give a shameless plug here. Dennis Dodd wrote that. That was his takeaway. And I thought it was an interesting takeaway from all this, is that if there was ever a reason to push for unionization, it would be this. Now, if you go back a few years, remember Northwestern players for just, you know, a New York minute.
Yeah, tried.
Pushed for unionization. Now, there are a lot of holes in that. And there are a lot of reasons why it couldn't potentially work, and, you know, right to work states, things like that. But the idea was, and it was done in this Ed O'Bannon timeline where people confused the unionization with the Ed O'Bannon case and wanting to get money for name, image, likeness uses. And really what the unionization effort pushed was about was, you know, making sure that certain standards were met within a program, and Kane Coulter was the quarterback and he was a very outspoken advocate for it, and it all kind of ended up getting shot down. I don't know necessarily that this will be the event that pushes things in another direction, in a more positive direction, but I will say this. Everything that I need to know about the voice that an athlete has in college football right now comes from the fact that any player that wanted to step forward and voice their concern had to do so anonymously through an ESPN article because they feared some sort of backlash from the coaching staff.
And then you had Will Muschamp, you know, coming out and ripping those players for having the guts to speak out anonymously because they feared reprisal, that that culture still exists in football, that you've got a high profile coach that in the wake of a player's death is criticizing those people that are speaking out against it. That sort of culture, it's amazing to me that that is, I'd like to say it's rare, but it's not. It's prevalent in the world of college football.
Well, coaching, the coaching fraternity is a buddy-buddy club.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. And Will Muschamp would sooner defend his buddy DJ Durkin than even acknowledge the fact that Jordan McNair shouldn't have died in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, that's what everyone should be mad at. Don't be mad at the anonymous sources. That's nothing. Anonymous sources are a way that people can come forward and have a sense of protection in the media. It's something that the media has done for as long as there's been one. And everyone uses anonymous sources. You know, coaches speak not off the record. If it was off the record, you couldn't report it, but they speak anonymously all the time. We have a series right now called Candid Coaches. And no, they all did. They spoke anonymously. It's just, that's part of the game. And it's really not the problem here. And so when Muschamp says something like that, it's a detraction from what's really important. And what's important here is Maryland screwed up. And it was great to see them take some accountability on that factor. But again, there's a long way to go on this before it's corrected.
Yeah, and you look at it just over the last, 8 to 10 years, we've had Texas Tech, Kansas recently, Illinois, Indiana, remove coaches for, player abuse. Now this thing lands at Maryland. Is there any way that Durkin keeps his job?
Well, you know, if he called this press conference today, I thought for sure Durkin was going to be gone.
Yeah.
And the thing that was interesting was Wallace Lowe put a lot of the blame, I would say almost exclusively, on the training staff. And, of course, the head strength and conditioning coach is gone. He's resigned. So there was a, heads did roll in a sense on that. But I was a little surprised not only that Durkin was not let go, but the fact that Lowe was so very adamant about saying that this was a problem with the training staff and not necessarily the coaching staff. That gives me a sense that DJ Durkin will get, due process throughout the course of this investigation, which, in fairness, he is entitled to. But this right now is scandal season. Even though they're different things, this is between Ohio State, between Maryland. You mentioned that there is a precedence within their own conference of coaches being let go for player misconduct allegations, player mistreatment allegations, I should say, that I still find the chances that Durkin would survive this to be slim to none. Certainly, though, I think there's a little bit more daylight after today just because of the due process that he is entitled to. But if you're Maryland, after the speech that I heard Wallace Lowe give today, you're not going to clean some house? That would seem a little surprising to me.
Yeah, would blow me away. Appreciate you taking a couple minutes. You can find his stuff, Ben Kirchvall, CBSSports.com. Do a great job covering college football. Really enjoy the work. Check out his stuff again online, CBSSports.com. Ben, we really appreciate you taking a couple minutes for us.
Yeah, man. Have a good night.
Thanks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.